Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success.
Well, here we are again, Dr. Art.
Here we are. Welcome, Dr. Winzi. I hope you're feeling well.
I am feeling very well. And you?
Good. Yes, very much.
Excellent. Well, I'm really excited. This show is about a subject that we both know well. We have used to help our clients, and we hope tonight that we will help you. We are going to be talking about how to stop self-sabotaging, and we're going to be investigating what it means in NLP to be helping you integrate your parts, because often self-sabotage comes from having different aspects of yourself. So we'll talk about that and much more. And the first thing I want to say, though, Dr. Art, is I want to talk about how grateful we are for our subscribers.
Yes.
We actually want to thank them every week because they help us keep the lights on. So thank you, subscribers. And if you would get value out of the show, we'd love it if you'd become a subscriber. And Thomas is showing on the screen how you can click the link. And so again, you know, we try to provide as much value as possible. Our aim here is to help a lot of people. Actually, we started the show as a labor of love because we are able to help just so many people on a one-on-one basis. And we thought, you know, how could we help more people? Because so many people in this time, this crazy time, really need some help with anxiety, stress, PTSD, and all kinds of things that are plaguing people. So that's our mission, is to help a lot of people with a lot of solutions. And yeah, Dr. Art, anything you want to say?
Yeah, I guess just let any of the new people who are joining tonight for the first time know that one of our commitments is to bring the latest thinking that we are able to access on different kinds of mind, body, health, and wellness. And one of our commitments is to make sure that you go away from our program with at least two or three practical applications, things that you can do. So we're going to give you a lot of interesting theoretical information, but application of that is where it really is going to make a difference in your life. So we're committed to make sure you have some things that you can do tonight or tomorrow or this week, and actually start receiving the benefits from the practices.
Awesome. Awesome. So I guess, you know, what new listeners don't know is that our Dr. Art here has a tip he does every week, and I always look forward to it. So Dr. Art, take it away.
Good. I can't wait to hear what I'm going to say here. So I always give a one word title to the tip, and the one word title for the tip this week is brain. B-R-A-I-N, something we all have, and we may or may not know how to take good care of it. But I ran across an interesting article that said, if you want to slow brain aging, there are some things that you can do that will help. And this is aside from obvious things like eat well and get rest and exercise, things like that. But this one says, learn something new, learn to do something new. And it, as a lot of people say, oh, well, I get my brain exercised a lot. I play bridge. And that's a very complex game of communication. And certainly it is. And then I would say, well, so how long have you been playing bridge? Oh, I've been playing for 20 years. Well, guess what? It's not doing you any good anymore because you've already greased those neural pathways that it takes to learn to play bridge. And you're probably a competent player now. And therefore, it's not really doing your your brain any more good now. So you could do that with anything. Do crossword puzzles or whatever people do. But if you've been doing it very long, it's lost its ability to help much. So what they recommend is to learn a new language. That any new skill that is complex, like learning to play a sport, learning to play a musical instrument, things like that, that require you building some new neural pathways that you don't have. And that this is kind of that brain is a muscle kind of an idea that it use it or lose it. But what they've done is a lot of research that shows that if you learn a new language, even if you're already bilingual, learn a new language. A lot of kids learn languages when they're very young. What they found out is that even older adults benefit greatly from this learning new language. And I guess language is one of the more complex things that we do learn when we're young, and how to manage the communication process. So I also have a recommendation that if you have trouble falling asleep, there's a thing that you can do that really solves two problems. Get yourself some Chinese language tapes and play them at night. And either one of two things will happen. Either you'll learn to speak Chinese or you will very quickly go to sleep, one or the other. So there are lots of language learning things on the market now that are taking advantage of some of the latest brain research. So get out there and learn to be bilingual. I speak Southern and English, and I'm trying to learn how to speak Northern now, I think.
I speak New York.
And you do, Southern. Yes, I know. Yes. You're fluent. I noticed that.
Well, that's a great tip, you know, and I think that it just speaks to the fact that life is about learning, and lifelong learning keeps us young and keeps us vital. Mm-hmm. And it's when we kind of retreat to just TV and sitting on the couch that, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it kind of thing. So yeah, definitely. I've seen YouTube videos of 85-year-old women doing modern dance and being thrown around by a male dancer who's a lot younger, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's
who knows? I mean, amazing things are possible, and with all the things that are happening with anti-aging and reverse aging, so there's hope for all of us.
There is. Absolutely.
There is. Yes. So we're on this topic of self-sabotage and the topic of NLP and parts. And what I would like you to do, Dr. Art, first is there are people that don't know what NLP is. And okay. I think it's really important because you are a master. I am certified in level one and use it all the time in my coaching, and it just does amazing things. In fact, I just see the results all the time with my clients, and I know you do too. So let's educate the listeners who don't know about NLP, and then we can get on to parts, because it's such a fascinating topic.
Yeah, really is. Well, they say that there are as many definitions of NLP as there are people practicing it. So, and some maybe not practicing, but the word itself, the three words, neuro, and relates to our neurology, our five senses, where we get all the incoming data about what's going on out there, and we try to make sense of it, and out of that sense making comes our behavior. Linguistic means that we are not able to actually communicate raw sensory data directly. We have to translate it into words. So if you went to a wonderful concert and I saw you the next day and I said, how was the concert? And you said, oh, it's fantastic. Well, I have no idea what the concert was really like. You've condensed the whole concert into a single word. And I know that you liked it and you thought it was wonderful, but I don't know any more about it. And so that is the example of how our words sometimes fail us at transmitting raw sensory data. What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like, taste and smell like, those kind of things? So the programming part says that all the behaviors that we have come from programs that we have learned, installed in our neurology. And so NLP, the neuro-linguistic programming, is the science and technology of accessing right down to that level of what a communication means. And we find out some very weird and interesting things that 55% of the meaning of what you communicate comes from your body language, not from the words that you use. So it's taken us in some new direction. Comes from a couple of guys, Richard Bandler and John Grinder out in California. And I think it hit the market about 1975. Mm-hmm. And since then has just had an explosive growth in the therapeutic area and learning area. It's just very powerful.
Totally. Mm. Totally. So neuro-linguistic and then programming. Is, that we actually get programmed by the things that we repetitively do. We get programmed by the things that we repetitively hear. So it's all about the senses. And so programming is, your brain is a computer. And we know how to program a computer. We put certain language in that is electronic and that is computer language, and it tells the computer what to do. And the computer automatically does certain things. And the same thing is true with us. So we develop these patterns of thinking and feeling and believing. And to us, those patterns are the truth. And actually what they are learned behaviors, learned thoughts, learned interpretations. And so we often react from a program. And the challenge with parts is that when Dr. Art explains parts, you'll understand that we have sometimes conflicting aspects of our program. So it might be that you have a Macintosh computer or an Apple computer, and you're trying to install Microsoft on it. And so the two programs, the two operating systems are at odds because they don't talk to each other. So Dr. Art, what is a part?
Okay, well, this comes from the work of Dr. Milton Erickson. He's a psychiatrist, the father of modern hypnotherapy. Had a lot of obese women coming to see him, and he would hypnotize them and say, why are you carrying all this extra weight? And he got such similar answers from so many women. And the answers were, I used to be very slim, trim, and attractive. And I would get hit on a lot by guys, and I didn't know how to handle that. I didn't know what to do. And so anytime when you are stressed and called on to behave in a way that you really don't know exactly what to do, that's almost like an invitation for a part to be born. A part is an aspect of us that says, well, you're in trouble, and you need somebody to protect you from something. And so I will set myself up as a protector, and I will develop a strategy that accomplishes that. And I will be rigorous about it. I will never let it an opportunity to use this strategy go by. So Erickson would have these women go to martial arts training. And they said, oh, you mean to lose weight? And he said, no, to learn to be a black belt, you know, or however many belts you can go. And at some point in their belt achievement level, as it would go up, they would just start losing weight like crazy. And what happened is that they realized, their unconscious realized, hey, I can take care of myself. I don't need all this extra weight to do that. And I can handle it. So parts are born when there is a belief that the whole of us is not paying enough attention to something that is a threat to our health, well-being, some aspect. And so it says, I'll take care of that. And
and it always has a positive intention because it's trying to help you.
Yeah, always has a positive intent. And although the way it's choosing to achieve its success, just like the women gaining a lot of weight, are not good for them cosmetically, healthy, and you know, wardrobe-wise, any way, socially. So the part doesn't realize that it may be causing trouble in other aspects of your life. And so it's possible to go in and negotiate with the part and say, look, I really appreciate what you're doing for me. Although in some cases, we have no idea what it is exactly that the part is doing or what it's concerned about. Mm-hmm. That's okay with our strategy. We don't need to know the details of it. You need to respect the part, praise it for doing such wonderful work. If you go after a part and say, you crummy part, you know, you're causing this kind of XYZ problem in my life. By the way, would you do me a favor? You know, well, it's not inclined to want to play games with you at all. So compliment the part, tell it that you really need to be the bearer of the messenger, bearing some bad news, is that the solutions that it's chosen are causing you to not be able to accomplish some of your life goals. Mm-hmm. And when would you be willing to come up with some different ways to accomplish your goal, whatever that may be? We may know what the goal is, we may not. And the part, I do this, a lot of persons in a hypnotic trance, and the part will either say, yes, I'm willing, or no, I'm not. And then you have to deal with whatever that comes. Most parts are agreeable, at least hear what you got to say. And so you explain what's going on, and then you give them some potential solutions, process solutions, not content solutions. Process meaning, look, I don't know what to tell you that you should be doing differently, but I have a lot of creative parts. And I want you to get together with them, and I want together you all to brainstorm and come up with some different ways for you to achieve this goal that doesn't, for example, have me gaining a lot of weight, because that's not really helpful. I need some other one. That's where Milton would put in, go to martial arts training. That was his solution. But you don't even have to give the solution. Our unconscious knows many, many solutions to things.
It does.
My company, U Solutions, the U stands for unconscious, because I think that's where all the solutions are in our unconscious. We just need to connect with them.
Absolutely.
That's what parts are about. They get born when they think, well, you know, the rest of you is not paying attention to this possible threat, and so I need to do something. Now, an example that I thought of was really good is using fear as one of the things that we all experience. There have been a lot of surveys of what is the most fearful thing in the world that you can think of. And guess what comes up the top of the list? Public speaking.
Public speaking, yes. Public speaking. And death is second.
Above death, even, yeah. So there may be, and I don't know that there absolutely is, but there may be a part that says, look, I'm going to make you so fearful that you won't ever get in a situation where you have to do that. Because you might get up there and people laugh at you, or they'll poke fun at you, or they'll get up and walk out and embarrass you or whatever. I don't want you to be subjected to that. So I'm just going to make sure that you're so terrified that you'll never even expose yourself to that. Mm-hmm. And the part says, yay, I'm doing a good job. I kept you from ever being a public speaker. Well, that may be something you need in your job or in your life, you know, that you, mm-hmm. you want to do. And so we can negotiate with the part and say, let's come up with another way to protect me here.
Well, now let's simplify this, because, you know, it all sounds well and good. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to play devil's advocate. So good. Here I am. I'm a client.
Right.
And you're telling me I have a part, or I'm doing this at home. I'm listening to you here on this show, and I'm going, okay, so I have this part, but how do I know when it's sabotaging me? I mean, you know, if it's here to protect me, how do I even negotiate with it? And since, you know, the other piece you said is that 95% of what runs us is unconscious. So what tip can you give me to help cue me into the ways that I'm sabotaging myself because of a part? So do we have multiple parts?
Yes, we do.
And if we do, then how the heck? It's like being schizophrenic.
Yeah.
You know, so help someone at home to figure this out.
Okay, well, let's break it down and say there's usually a pattern would be I want to do X and I don't, or I can't, or for some reason I'm not able to, or I'm not willing to, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. I would never say that somebody has a part. I would suggest that you might have a part.
Okay.
That is causing you to not feel comfortable or be willing to even try this out. And so what you could do was to just close your eyes and sit back and have a little talk with yourself and say, is there a part that's involved in this? And I'm just going to assume there is one. You don't even have to say anything to me. I'm just going to proceed with that idea. And I'm going to say, I really appreciate what you've been doing for me, although I don't know why you've chosen this particular way of solving the problem. But I need to tell you that it's causing some distress and inability to reach some of my goals. Let's say you want to go to the gym 3 days a week or something, just to put a specific example, and you don't do it. You know, you go once and then you don't go for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, well, there may be a part that says, I really don't want you going to the gym 3 days a week. Now, we don't know that for sure, but let's just assume that in your discussion with yourself. Let's say, if this is true, would you be willing to meet with a committee of my creative parts? And whatever it is that you're trying to protect me from, would you find another way to do it with working with these creative parts that allows me to go to the gym 3 days a week? And then just sit back and give a little bit of time and then say, thank you very much. I'm assuming that you are working on that, or you have worked on it and figured out something. So please implement those new ways of achieving your goal and allow me to go to the gym. And I really appreciate what you've been doing for me. And I hope we can continue a long relationship.
So let me stop you.
But not as opposition.
So what you're saying is that you don't have to know the new strategy of the part. Do you have a handout that we can send people that tells them how to do this?
Sure.
Okay, awesome. So if you want to get a copy of the things, the tips that we give you on the show, you would just contact us by email and we will send it to you. So it's contact. Sure. NR show, new reality show, contact NR show at gmail.com. And thank you, Thomas. He's putting it on the screen. So that's our email, and that's how you can contact us for any freebies that we have. And this, I think, is it's really good to know, Dr. Art, that they don't have to know the new strategy. I want to suggest another way. And that is that journaling, as you know, some people might roll their eyes and say, oh, journaling, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, actually you can contact your parts through journaling. And there's a couple of books that I used a long time ago when I was going through my, you know, coaching and midlife crisis and, you know, my personal growth. And it's called, I forget the name of the author, but it's writing with your left hand if you're right-handed, or writing with your right hand if you're left-handed. So you use your non-dominant hand to write the answers to your questions in your journal. And you'll find that honesty will come out from you just, it's kind of like, where did that come from? But because you're using the non-dominant hand, it's almost like it's a link to the subconscious mind. And it's, and it's very difficult to write with your non-dominant hand.
It is,
But at the same time, there's a something that happens in the process of journaling. So the other thing you can do is, and I do this with my clients all the time, is making them really conscious of the things that they're saying to themselves and doing things differently. So for instance, when I was in deep recovery of the eating disorder, my coach at the time said, if you're sitting in front of the TV and you've got a bag of chips, you have to get up, put the bag of chips away and go do something else. If whatever you're doing, if you're feeling like you want to overeat, you have to get up and go do something else. So I wasn't necessarily finding out what the part was, but I was snafuing. I was pattern interrupting, which is a whole nother topic. And we've talked about it before, but it took me a long time to find out how to deal with the part that had the eating disorder to try and control life and deal with life. And that's, you know, a whole nother topic. But it's an important aspect, because when you're conscious of what you're doing through journaling or keeping a notebook and writing down, I had this impulse and here's what I did instead. It's being aware and really taking the time to say, I used to sabotage myself every time I tried to lose weight or go to the gym or improve myself in some way. And here's what I'm going to do as a different tactic. And so writing with the non-dominant hand and also writing out what you're going to do if the sabotage program becomes active are a couple of other things. And we'll put this all together. And anybody who wants it, just write us at our email. We'll send it to you. So why would we have multiple parts, Dr. Art, if there's one threat? Oh, and before we go on, let me just do a station ID. If you've just joined us, we are, this is the New Reality Show with Dr. Christina Winzi. That's me and Dr. Art Emmerich. And we're talking tonight about how people self-sabotage and what you can do to solve that and to stop doing that and achieve your goals. And we are, for the most part, talking about a concept called parts. And again, I want to thank our subscribers. If you're new to the show, we just want to say, if you get value out of the show, we invite you to become a subscriber, and we hope you'll want to support our show. But either way, you know, we are thankful to have you here. We hope you get a lot of value. Thomas is putting on the screen how you can become a subscriber and help us keep the lights on, because our goal is to help as many people as possible with our shows. So thank you so much. All right, Dr. Art. So why would we have so many parts if, you know, you said it's born out of fear and protection. Why would we need multiple parts?
Well, let me give an example of a client that I think may help do this. This is a young woman came to Florida from New York, needed a job, applied at the fire station, was hired on probation. And part of the thing that she had to do to get off of probation was to do, I think it was 9 tasks in 7 minutes or 7 tasks in 9 minutes anyway. So it was physical things like run over, pull the ladder off the wall, run across the room with it, extend the ladder up to this platform that was 20 feet off the ground, put on a 50-pound breathing apparatus, climb up the ladder, climb back down the ladder, all this
wow.
that kind of stuff, you know. She was really good at that and finished with plenty of time to do the last task, which was to hook her arms under the shoulders of this burlap dummy that weighed 200 pounds and drag it backwards across the floor for 100 feet. And she said, I would get down, I'd have my hands up underneath, and I would freeze right there, just stuck. And I said, not strong enough to drive? Oh, yeah, I'm plenty strong. I could do it. I was like a deer in the headlight. I was frozen. And then they said, okay, time's up. Sorry, you didn't make it. Then I could drag this thing all over the place. But it was too late and make a difference. So I did some a technique with her that I thought would work. And she went back the next week, took the test, failed it again. She came back and I worked with her some more. She went back and failed it again. And she came back to me and she said, they said, this is my last shot. I can't, if I don't do it this time, I'm not employed anymore. And I don't know why in the world it took me so long. I said, well, let's investigate parts. Maybe there's a part of you that doesn't want you to pass this test. So we don't know why, but do you have any idea why that would be? She said, done at all. I need this job. I have to have some employment to pay the rent. So I hypnotized her and I said, is there a part behind this inability to pass the test? She shook her head. Yes, there was. And I said, would the part be willing to talk to me through this woman's using her voice? And it said, yes. And I said, could you explain what you're doing and why? And the part said, yes, this is a young, attractive woman, just moved here, doesn't have any friends, but she'll meet some people through the contacts at the fire station and the couple of gals on the staff there, they'll go out and, you know, and have dinner together or something, and the guys will notice them, and pretty soon some guys will come over and they'll start talking, and she'll see one that she kind of likes a little bit and he likes her, and you know, pretty soon they'll be dating and they'll keep on dating and get serious, and then he'll say, will you marry me? And she'll say, oh, I'd love to, and they would get married and then they would have children. And I just don't think it's right to have a woman with little babies at home out fighting fires. And I said, well, that makes sense to me. I agree. I don't think that's a good idea either. So he said, so I'm not going to let her pass this test, and that way she'll never be able to fight a fire, and that would be it. So I said, would you mind if I tell her what you told me? And he said, no, fine. I said, because I'm sure she didn't have a clue this is what's going on. So I woke her up and told her. She laughed, and then she said, I don't even know anybody. This part's got me married with children. This is a crazy thing. I said, look, you don't understand. Parts are looking out for you way beyond maybe anything you might have even thought about protecting yourself from. And this part saw a potential issue and said, no sweat. I will take care of this. And it is. It's taking care of it really well. She said, yeah, but it's also taking care that I'm not going to have a job if I don't do this. And I said, would you let me negotiate with this part? And she said, oh, sure, whatever you can do. So I hypnotized her again, and I said, look, we understand what you're doing and why you're doing it, and want to express her great appreciation for taking care of, looking after her little babies that are unborn at this point. But let me ask you if you would be willing to work with her creative parts and come up with another way to solve this problem. And meanwhile, let me just say that if she proceeds with this job, this is only one of many tests that she's going to have to pass before she fights a fire. But this particular one is going to allow her to keep the job. So would you be willing to make her fail something later on, you know, and let her pass this one, but you could still, you know, make her fail something that would keep her from fighting fires? Long silence. Finally, yes, I would be willing to do that. I said, okay, so let me make sure I understand. So she can go out tomorrow and take this test and pass it. Is that right? Yes, that'd be fine. I'll find another way. And I said, great. Okay, we got a deal. And so I woke her up and told her, I said, it's all fixed. You can go out and pass the test tomorrow. She went out the next day, passed the test. So now somebody, a cynic might say, well, was there really a part? But I have no idea. A part is a construct that we came up with to explain some very strange things that we have blocking us. And you could call a part a block, a mental block, if you wanted to, if you didn't like the idea of parts. But it gets set up because of perception that, I don't know about this. This is kind of scary. And so I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen. And so we proceed with that idea. And you can do the same thing. Just say, if there's a part that's blocking me from going to the gym or to cause me to bite my nails or whatever it is that you're doing and you don't want to do or that you'd like to do and are not able to, let's just assume, well, there's a part in there that's not happy with what I want. Mm-hmm. And I got to talk to it and say, look, I appreciate it, but you're causing me difficulty that you probably don't know anything at all or even care anything at all about, but I do. And so I want to have some kind of peaceful coexistence here. Let's work as a team. If you are willing, you know, find some other ways to achieve your goal. And I don't even have to know what your goal is. I don't even have to know if there really is a part. I'm just going to assume there's one and proceed in that way. And then just see what happens. And you might be very pleasantly surprised to realize that, I'll be darned, I guess that part had the meeting and fixed it all up and everything's fine now. What you experience is a lack of any impediment or any barrier to what you want to do. It goes away.
I love that story. That is amazing. And you know, I've often felt the two parts of me, or maybe there's more than one, but I've actually had the arguments with myself. Mm-hmm. When you have an eating disorder and you are you're trying to negotiate with yourself not to binge, not to do the thing that you know is destructive. So I remember standing in the grocery store in the aisle where the cookies and the chocolate and all of the goodies are. And I would stand there for sometimes 10, 15 minutes, just, I want this, but I don't want to buy it, you know, because I don't want to do this to myself. So you can be in the throes of it. And the one thing that I know, if there's anybody else out there who might be struggling with something more serious than about going to the gym, but whether it's drinking or eating or any kind of addictive substance, you know, that definitely you need to get support. But I found that there was that split second, and it was even more than a split second. There's that moment when you can make a different decision. And so there may be a part that's telling you to be destructive, that I don't really know why that part wanted me to have the eating disorder. I just know that it was a coping mechanism that I developed. And I developed it young, and a lot of women do. A lot, there are men that do. There are young men that develop eating disorders, and you don't know why. Why would you do something like that to yourself? But what I did know at a certain point in the process of recovering from this was that I had the opportunity to make the choice, and that's when I was saying earlier, Dr. Art, about when you're on the couch or when you're in a situation where you're about to engage in the bad behavior, the thing that's going to hurt you, even though it feels like it's going to feel good to have it, you get that few moments to say, no, I'm going to do something else. I'm not going to do it. And the beauty of that is, A, you didn't have to know why the part is trying to make you do it, like right. you said, Dr. Art. But B, the more you do that, it's empowering. Mm-hmm. So you build up power with yourself. You build up that ability to make a new choice stronger and stronger and stronger. And there's a whole lot more to recovering from things like addictions, but that in itself, if you're sitting on the couch and not wanting to go to the gym, but you know you need to go to the gym because it takes care of your well-being, then you do have that moment where you can just say, I'm going to do it, and get in the car and go. Yeah. And I love there's a speaker that I've seen, I wish I could remember her name, but she had fallen into a very deep depression, some economic crash, all sorts of things. And one day she simply did 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and got up and did what she was supposed to do. And so, you know, what I want to encourage our audience here is to realize that you're not a victim of the part. The part is something that you've gotten used to allowing it to do what it does. And so you can do what Dr. Art is talking about, negotiating with it. And that's certainly very, very powerful. And certainly you can get hypnotized by Dr. Art. That's very powerful too. And I've been hypnotized by Dr. Art. But you can also do some of the things that I talked about of being aware, writing with the non-dominant hand, finding out what's really going on and making a different choice in the moment. So, wow, this is such a big topic, isn't it?
Yeah. And anytime that you feel like you're not in charge of yourself, you know, that you're operating out of a habit that you don't want to do anymore, the pattern interrupt that Dr. Chris is suggesting is the way. You've got a well-greased neural network that's taking you down a path you don't want to go down. And the way you're going to stop going down that is to stop. Become conscious of the fact that you do have a choice and get up and do something different. And that is very powerful.
Yes.
Just while we're still got a little bit of time left, can I tell one more client story?
You can. Okay. Just please tell people what a neural net is, because not everybody knows.
Okay. The old diagrams that we learned in biology, I guess, that there's a neuron. It's an electrical impulse that travels down and it gets to a place where the nerve don't touch each other. And so the electrical impulse is actually converted to a chemical that goes across that gap, and then it connects again, and then it becomes electronic, and then it goes on down electronically. So that whole network of things, a habit is built of a series of nerve impulses that cause certain muscles to fire. Certain, you know, you have to get up and go to the refrigerator and open it and get some food out. That's all habitual behavior. A lot of people really don't realize that's even what they're doing. Maybe even until after they've already done it. It's like, I meant to stop doing that. And I forgot, and I was thinking about something else, and I got in. So just getting up and doing something right then and interrupting that pattern is very powerful. Now, what I'm looking for in the parts, I had a couple come in, and they wanted to have a baby and had been trying for about 3 years, and it just wasn't happening. And I said, okay, well, husband, you sit over here in this chair and listen to everything that I'm saying, because you may be able to help reinforce some of this. And the wife, sit in the hypnotic chair. And so I'm going to suggest that maybe there is a part that does not want you to get pregnant. Now, if that's true, we don't even have to know why that part doesn't want you to get pregnant. That would be interesting, but not necessary. Mm-hmm. So let's just assume that there is one and say, look, if there's a part in there that is trying to block this pregnancy, would you please get together with her creative parts and come up with a new way to solve the problem that you're working on, provide the protection that you think is necessary, but choose a different way to do it. Allow this woman to get pregnant. She and her husband both really, really want to have a child. And you, if there is a part in there doing this, you're blocking one of the greatest goals that a married couple can have and achieve some success in their marriage by becoming parents. So please figure out another way to do it. And so I went on and I did some other things too, but that was probably, to me, that was the most significant one. 90 days later, she was pregnant. So now, was there a part? Again, I have no idea. But the use of that strategy often pays off, and we could attribute the success to something else easy enough. Well, maybe it was just her time to get pregnant. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, and it could also be that, you know, there was a part of her that just needed someone like you to help her and for her to feel, okay, we've done what we need to do and now I can get pregnant.
Now I can do it, yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? It's a fascinating thing.
Yeah.
I love that there's so much that can be done with mind-body medicine. Yeah. And people really don't realize how powerful your thoughts, your feelings, your neurology is in terms of creating your experience of life and your ability to control your actions, your decisions. You know, I think a lot of people walk around just feeling like they're victims, or that they, well, this is how I've always done it, or this is how it's always been, or my mother did it this way, or my father did it this way. And they never question that they could do more or do different. And what I say to my clients too, Dr. Art, is that we get comfortable in an uncomfortable way with the status quo. And it takes effort to change the status quo. So it's not just that you're dealing with parts, but the minute you say, and we just had New Year's, you know, a lot of people probably set a lot of goals. And that's one of the reasons we're doing the show on this topic. You know, you set your goals, and then a whole lot of doubt sets in. You begin to say, well, I didn't really, you know, maybe I'll do it next year. You get all these delays in and sabotage things that come into play when life sets in. And when we're goal setting, when we're thinking about what we want, it feels as though it's possible. And you start out with great intention and lots of excitement, but then life sets in. You know, there's still kids to take care of. There's still dinner to make, or, you know, whatever your role is in the family, there's still work to go to. There's still animals to take care of. There's just, you know, life. And so unless we are giving ourselves time for that inner work, the stuff that we've been talking about tonight, really, I encourage you to honor yourself and find 15, 30, 60 minutes that you can spend with yourself to look at some of the things that we're talking about. And if you can't do 60 minutes a day, which I think is difficult for some people, maybe you can do 15 minutes every day and 60 minutes on a weekend or something. But there's what we're talking about requires that if you really want what you're saying you want in your goal setting and in your resolutions for New Year's, then it means that you really need to take the time to focus on it and to make it a plan, a real, and a commitment.
And while you're talking about the celebration, I don't want to leave anybody with the idea that parts are always bad. There may be a part of you that gets you to go to the gym 3 days a week or eat healthy or whatever. So a lot of times you can say a part, you could say it's a habit. Mm-hmm. Parts are habits. And so why not have a parts party and get all your parts together and celebrate their existence and their ability and willingness to help you be as good as you can be, or as good as they know how to help you be, and celebrate the ones that are doing a wonderful job and allowing you to do the things you do want to do, and do it regularly without, you know, just without even thinking. You're doing healthy things, you're doing smart things, you're living right. A lot of that is habits that we have established over the year, good habits that we've established. And who knows, there may be a part behind that that's saying, yeah, I'm in here making sure that you remember to do that every time and celebrate that. And a lot of things that I do with body talk is getting people to talk more with their mind-body system, mm-hmm. particularly in the area of appreciation. How many of you have thanked your liver lately? Or your kidney?
Yes.
Or your lungs or your heart or your, you know, any part of your body, your feet. Just imagine, what would it be like if you didn't have any feet? Well, how many times have you ever thanked them, you know? Well, guess what? When you're thanked for doing something, how do you feel about that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your body feels the same way.
Absolutely.
Serious difficulty with my kidneys, and I started talking to them, and they said, how come we performed great for 75 years and you never said a word to us, and we screw up one time and now we got to have this little talk, you know? Not, oh, I'm getting a performance review here. So the body really, I don't know if I can say it craves appreciation, but it certainly does respond well to it. So appreciate yourself and all of your different body parts and mind parts.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
They are all together working to make you who you are.
A very simple thing, but very difficult for a lot of people, is something Louise Hay, author and really amazing woman. She's no longer with us in the physical form. Mm-hmm. But she taught people to look in the mirror and say, I love you. And really mean it, to look in your own eyes and do it repetitively and every day. And it is very transforming. And we don't appreciate ourselves enough. I think that's really one of the problems. We are unfortunately running out of time, Dr. Art. I do want to tell people. Yes, I just want to tell people what's going to be on next week's show. I'm pretty excited about the show. Yeah. We are going to be next week talking about The Biology of Belief, which is a book by Dr. Bruce Lipton. He's one of our, shall we say, he's an idol. You know, we just think he's incredible. One of the gurus. Dr. Lipton is a cellular biologist, used to teach in medical schools. And he basically turned biological cellular science on its tail and completely revolutionized how we look at cellular biology now. And he developed epigenetics and changed how we looked at genes and the whole theory of genetics and what used to be dogma is no longer, because he proved otherwise. And as with most prophets in his own land. He was very much shunned for a while. So we're going to talk about the biology of belief and what that means from both science and what it means for you so that you can make differences in your life through some of the things that Dr. Lipton talks about. So I'm excited about that show.
Me too. That's going to be really good.
It's going to be good. And then I just want to say you can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/newreality show. Again, we thank our subscribers. And if you would like the free handouts that we talked about on the show, just write to us at our email. And Thomas, if you'd put our email up, that would be great. You just write us at contactnrshow@gmail.com. That's contact N as in new, R as in reality show at gmail.com. And we'll be happy to send that to you. So, absolutely. Dr. Art, it's been absolutely wonderful to be with you. And as always. So, folks, we thank you for tuning in. If you got value from the show, we hope you will stick around and come back next week.
Please do.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/newreality show for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.